The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Rebecca Lowe. Welcome along to the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast, where you can get the latest can't-miss content from NBC's coverage of one of the best leagues in the world. Be sure to tune in on weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern for Premier League mornings on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. But for now, we hope you enjoy the latest edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Now, an interesting note that's just come to our attention the last 10 minutes or so. The Premier League are actually investigating whether West Ham and West Brom breached regulations today with an agreement that Robert Snodgrass would not play in tonight's match. You may have heard Sam Allardyce before the game. They bought Robert Snodgrass from West Ham, and Allardyce said in the pre-match interview the only way we could get him at that point, which was 10 days ago or so, was if we promised not to play him in the game. We at the time thought that was quite strange. Well, according to the regulation I-7, no club shall enter into a contract which enables another party to that contract to acquire the ability materially to influence its policies or the performance of its teams in league matches. That doesn't sound like they've done this correctly, these two teams.
No, scratching our head. And how West Ham can sell a player and then tell you when you can play him doesn't seem right. Whether Sam's told us and got out in the media, and we'll see what consequences. But, yeah, loan situations, yes, we know you don't play against your parent team. But when you've signed someone, that doesn't quite feel right.
Agree?
Yeah, I mean, what's next? Don't play against him, and I'd rather you not play against him and play him. Don't play him as a midfield player, play him as a defender. I mean, it's like when we first heard it, we're like, wow, that's kind of, we've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Obviously, loans, you can't, but this was really strange, and it's been flagged up. Big Sam said it.
See what's the consequence.
Premier League are investigating. We shall see. What's your headline out of the game, Robbie?
This Sam's got a lot of work to do, and he better get some lone players in who can play for his team and get him out of trouble, because 5 points from safety, two games more than Fulham and Burnley down there. It's 43 goals, I think, conceded now. They've got to stop them going in at the other end. There's good signs that things can happen at the top end of the pitch backs, but you've got to keep some clean sheets.
Same thing. I mean, long, simple balls into the box, end up in the back of your own net. That's not good. And Big Sam will know that. That's not okay for that sort of ball. Good crosses, I get it. But again, defensively, two more goals conceded.
We will get to Chelsea, chaps, but I do want to start with Leicester City because they are top of the league.
Yeah.
They played incredibly well for their manager, Brendan Rodgers. What impressed you most about this Foxes team tonight and now at the halfway stage on reflection?
Because the main thing is their organisation and how grooved they look. I think Robbie talked about it a little bit at half-time. Whether it's in possession, whether it's out of possession, whether it's kind of be expansive and try and create and score, or whether it's playing on a counter-attack, they seem to know what they're doing in all situations. And you know what? And there's a bunch of different players we want to talk about. I'll talk about two players, Mark Albrighton and Harvey Barnes. Well, we know what they're in the team for, advanced play, crosses, creating, Harvey Barnes gets his goals, etc. But it's numerous times I watch those two tracking the fullbacks, sprinting back, wanting to defend, wanting to help the team. And of all the things that we're going to talk about at Chelsea, I still believe that Chelsea don't do that. They're not a good team. They're not a good team defensive side. The players don't play for each other. It's more of individuals. And all the things we can talk about Leicester City with individuals, I like that about them. They're not only good on the ball, they're really good as a team defending as well.
So it's not just about the quality in your team.
No.
It's about the quality of your attitude as well.
And the group together and the identity which you play and the style of play. You can see with Leicester City's football how they're building up through the back to get the ball into midfield, through into Madison, between the lines, and then they're going to break. And then they've got the speed and then they've got the movement. Today, Rebecca, we had two relatively young teams in terms of Premier League standing. We had two relatively young managers. Brendan Rodgers is 47 years of age. Frank Lampard's 42 years of age. There's a difference, a huge difference in experience, in body of work, what Robbie talks about, in ingraining the style and the way of playing, that Frank Lampard is trying to have a quick fix. He's trying to catch up. Brendan Rodgers has been coaching for probably 20-odd years. from youth teams, from reserves, from first teams. He's now in a position where you look at those players, they are all playing on top of their game. Fofana, by the way, is an looks like an absolute world beater. I know we'll do a little piece on him later. But to think for $38 million for him to come in, he's better than any defender Chelsea have got in their squad.
We talked about what Chelsea players would get into the Leicester team, which is a stunning statement to start with. But you just saw it there. You saw it, maybe one or two. You saw it in evidence of young players that produce at whichever side of the ball it is. And that's got to be the worrying part. If you're the ownership of Chelsea Football Club, wow, Leicester City players looked a lot better than ours.
And doesn't that take away from that? At some point, yeah, we know Timo Werner's coming and he's new. And we know Kai Havertz coming and he's new. And Hudson-Odoi. And Leicester City have got players like Harvey Barnes, you know, on one side. You've got Ndidi, you've got Tielemans, you've got Maddison. Young players, it's their first...
But about a little more, more time together, right?
Yeah.
Okay, granted. But this is the main thing for me now with Chelsea. We're not seeing any progression. We're not seeing any improvement. You get it. And managers that stay a little bit of time and don't win much, there's always a sense of progression. That's worrying for Chelsea because Chelsea, over the last few weeks, have got worse and they look flat and devoid of any confidence.
Well, I was going to talk about Chelsea. We ran out of time because of the loving of Leicester. But just before we hear from James Maddison, in one word, because we will talk more about this, but in one word, are they going to fire Frank Lampard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear from James Maddison.
James, just how complete a team performance was that sends you to the top of the Premier League?
Yeah, sounds nice, doesn't it? The top of the Premier League. Probably for about 24 hours, but it's a good one psychologically because we've worked really hard and halfway through the season now, and to be sitting top's a great achievement for us and one we can definitely build on. But yeah, like you said, I don't think you'll see a more complete team performance from us this season so far, I should say. Had a bit of everything, had a bit of tactical nous, had a bit of quality when needed. We work hard every time on stifling the opposition and the opposition's threats, and I thought we did that brilliantly today. Credit to the manager as well. We had a little switch at half time to go to almost like a bit of a 4-4-2 out of possession. 4-3-3 in possession stayed the same. But just little things like that, thinking on our feet. And I thought the lads out there, we dealt with the threat that came our way and I thoroughly deserved 3 points.
Is that the key to it? The combination of all of that, plus you all do the dirty work and you've all got each other's backs, it looks like.
Yeah, well, you don't play for Brendan Rodgers if you don't do the dirty work. It's as simple as that. He always reiterates to us and to you when he speaks to you that it's a running game. You can't have passengers, you can't carry anyone in this league, especially when a team like we are, we need to stay together. If we want to stay up there for the longevity of the season, there might be teams that will be able to spend a lot more money than us and bring in quality from abroad and pay big wages for big players. But that team spirit and that togetherness that is here at Leicester City for all to see will continue and we'll keep doing to try and keep us up there at the top of the table, yeah.
That first goal, was that very much a Brendan Rodgers training ground move? Innovative.
Yeah, we worked on it. We looked at Chelsea and little short corners and being creative. They switch off sometimes from set pieces and we knew that was something that we could pick on. We haven't scored enough goals from set pieces. Pulling my hair out sometimes as the corner taker when you put it in there and you look at the stats that come up on the games and it's like goals scored from set pieces, Leicester City bottom of the table, 0. So really nice to see one come off, bit of a relief actually. And it's always nice when you work on one and it comes off. We didn't quite have the mishit shot from Harvey Barnes to set up Wilfred and Ndidi to slice it in, but we'll take it.
What about you? That's 5 in 7 right now. Goals are flying in for you. What's that down to?
Working on my game. Improving, yeah. I remember a game we played Sheffield United earlier in the season and I always watch the games back and Jamie Carragher said in commentary that he needs to get his numbers up, James Maddison, if he wants to be challenging for the England spots and being talked about in the same bracket as others, he needs to get his numbers up. And me, the gaffer and Jack, the analyst, sat down. Jack will be buzzing that I've name-dropped him. Sat down and looked at where I can get more goals and playing a bit deeper. And I was a number 8 today and little things like breaking into the box, getting beyond that last line and really kind of almost smelling where the ball's going to drop. It's not an easy thing to do. And Frank Lampard was the best at it, arriving late and scoring goals, and that's what I did today. And Mark Albright, and I seen him get his head up and I just kind of drifted onto the back line, and that's something that I'll keep improving on, scoring goals, because everyone wants numbers and I want numbers because I want goals and assists. I want everyone talking about me. So that's a part of my game that I'm looking to improve on, and I'm getting good return at the minute, yeah.
So top tonight could be fleetingly, but do you embrace it? Is this a flag in the sand, we're contenders. This is so open, the race this season. Are Leicester City genuine contenders?
I'm going to have to be boring with my answer and say...
Why not? Why not go the other way? Say yeah.
Because then you can get sidetracked, I think. We need to just... Because we're top of the table at the minute because we don't think like that. And listen, the next game, as boring as it is, and I'm sorry I have to say it, Jeff, but the most important game is the next game. And it was Southampton last week, and it was Chelsea this week, and then it's Brentford in the FA Cup. And as cliche as it is, that's how we've got to work, and that's why we're top of the table, because we have that mentality. And that's where we want to be. We're not up there by fluke. We're up there because we work hard. And listen, people might talk about the Uniteds, the Liverpools and the Tottenhams or whatever, but let's let them talk. We'll do our business in the background. And come the end of the season, hopefully it will give us a chance of being right up there.
Nice feeling though, isn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. I'll probably go and check the table when I go in there. But
cheers, James.
Well, cheers, Jeff. Thank you.
Cheers.
Frank, just how disappointing was that defeat and the manner of it?
Beaten by a better team. Thought they were sharper than us, ran more than us, showed moments of quality, looked like a team in form, we looked like a team out of form. First goal disappointing from a set piece. Second goal poor defending from us. Then it's really difficult to come here when you're two down.
Were you just not alive, do you feel, for that first period for both goals?
Yeah, sleeping moments, yeah. But I thought it was quite a lot of moments in the first half where our sharpness wasn't there. Sometimes that relates to poor form when players are not playing so well. But those are moments that you've got to dig in, and the basics and the bare minimums are to run and to sprint and to cover ground. And too many of our players didn't do it.
Is that the most disappointing aspect, that the players didn't do the basics tonight in parts of the game?
Yeah, you can break the game down afterwards. The most disappointing thing is to come here and lose a game. I know Leicester are a very good team. They can beat anyone. They're in good form at the moment. But, yeah, the basics of the game off the ball are important. Our game on the ball was OK at times, a bit slow. They made it difficult for us and we were content to go backwards. We created a few little opportunities, probably a little bit unlucky. I thought it was a penalty on the edge of the box. I've seen them given recently, but I'm not going to lean on a decision like that. Our game wasn't there.
If Saturday was a welcome step forward, was this another step backwards?
Yeah, it's a loss, Jeff. It's just a loss. And, you know, we won against Fulham without playing brilliantly. We dug in a little bit, showed some character, played OK. But then from that, you come and lose a game here again. So, yeah, it's a small step backwards, clearly.
How worried are you about the slump at the moment? That's five losses out of the last eight.
Yeah, worried. I mean, I think it's, you know, from the form that we were in to get so quickly into the form that we're now in, even with the Fulham win, and we've had some wins in that, but we should be better than that. Five losses in eight, that's not where we want to be, of course. It takes character to turn from that. We're quite a young team today, so they won't be feeling nice. I'm not against the lads in the dressing room there, because they're disappointed, and then they learn a lesson of a team that are playing well and sharpness that comes with it. We were that team a month ago. We were flying against Leeds, energy, bundles of energy, quality, everything about us. And it's a big lesson for some of the players in there that if you come off it, if you think that you're fine, all of a sudden you realise you've got a lack of confidence, you've got a lack of maybe a little feeling to run, because that comes alongside confidence, and you've got to get yourself out of that hole. There's quite a few players in the team that have got to get themselves out of that hole.
That will be down to you. You've already faced questions about your future. How much do you expect that to intensify off the back of this?
Of course. It intensified for me a while ago, because expectations at this club, whether they're right or wrong, are always high. I know we're in a different position now with the squad. If you look at our squad today and the age in our squad and look for our season, the composition of our squad, it's a mixture of a young squad, a lot of players, some new players. And I keep talking about transition, but when we perform like that, it's normal that people will ask questions.
Nobody knows this club better than you. Are you totally confident the owner will have patience with you and stick with you?
It's not my decision, Jeff, and that's something that will always be there. When I came into this job, or the job of management, you always understand that some things are beyond your control. Things that you can control are going again, trying to lift the players and trying to work hard. So that I can't answer.
Are you in a bit of a quandary now as to how you get out of this slump? Because you want to try something different to change the results, but you don't want to change too much.
No, I don't think it's... we're not talking... huge change in terms of system. I think if you go pound for pound, Leicester player against Chelsea player tonight, they were better than us, they were sharper than us, they had more confidence than us, they played forward more than us, they made more clinical decisions on the ball than us. That doesn't matter what formation you play, the game can be pretty much a match-up when both teams are playing 4-2-3-1. Sometimes it becomes down to you against your man. We lost individual battles all over the pitch. Those are the basic rules of football. So I'm not looking to change wholesale structure. players in there, me, as you just quite rightly said, takes the responsibility, have to improve because where we were, 2 points off the lead, everyone lauding us, we're not there now. So we have to certainly regroup individually as a club and move forward.
Have recent results shaken your belief that you can get back to that place?
No, I don't know. I never sat there with the stone-cold belief that we're going to win the league this year when people were going to say we're really contenders. I didn't say that. So I don't think belief is always something that you can draw a line and say this is what we are, this is what we're going to do, because football doesn't work that way. And where we are at the minute, and it's been shown very clearly in recent weeks, is that we're not at that point. But at the same time, we were, for a lot, big part of last season, I think going into restart, something like 9 points off Leicester, probably 20-odd points off of Liverpool. So there's a lot of ups and downs this season and different variables. But what we can only control is what's in front of us. Now we play Luton at the weekend. We have two home games after that. Really important for the players and myself to be lifted to try and approach them in the right way.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you. Cheers, Jeff. Thanks.
Really interesting. Next up, they've got Luton at home in the FA Cup this weekend. Then those two home games that Frank Lampard talks about are Wolves. And then Burnley, both at home, and then they go to Spurs. Some just picked out some of those quotes. We lost individual battles all over the pitch. Leicester City with a better team, he said on a number of occasions. It's a small step backwards. He wants now character from his players to get themselves out of a hole, and that he's not against his players. He just sees them now learning a lesson from arguably a team that are in their groove, as you said, Robbie Musto. Is the most alarming thing for him, for everybody watching, that last month, just last month, they were top of the league. Yeah. And now they're sitting in eighth and they look like a shadow of their former selves.
Well, that's got to be incredibly frustrating for everybody connected with the football club. Because I remember a month ago sitting here and saying, really enjoying Chelsea, really enjoying it. The players have settled a little bit, the football's really nice, the front players are producing and scoring goals. And it's really strange to see it just drop off. You know, I know some players were out with COVID and there was a little bit of change around, and that's when it started to go a little bit wrong. Something else I want to pick out, Rebecca, run, sprint and cover ground was lacking. I've said that before. And I don't see this Chelsea team being a real team. Now, come on, Frank Lampard. You know, other people have seen that. Improve that. Make them work hard. Make the front players come back to help out, like the Leicester City players did. And then, maybe just then, when you win that kind of physical battle sometimes, then the talent can take over. But the drop-off is shocking. I like his honesty. And I personally hope that he gets a load more time. I hope he gets to the end of the season to really try and pull it around, because I think at the end of the season we'll know whether he's the right guy and he's up to this job or whether he isn't.
I wonder, Robbie Earle, if he was hinting in that interview when he talked about the players now having learnt a lesson, that they now need to realise that when they were near the top or top, that the job wasn't done, and that young players maybe think that they can slightly take their foot off the pedal, don't have to run as much, don't have to cover as much ground, as Robbie Musto was saying. And now he's trying to manage them back up to the stage of having to run. And that's what he's having problems with.
Possibly. And it's all for Frank. It's new for Frank as it's new for his players, Rebecca. What slightly worries me, if confidence was that good when they were top of the league a month ago, it's gone fragile all of a sudden at five losses in the last eight. And I have to look at Brendan Rodgers and Leicester as the other side. If I put Brendan Rodgers in charge of that Chelsea team, I get different. I get work rate. I get team shape. I get personality and character. So, as a manager, as Robbie says, Frank's got to do something now. He's got to give something. He said a big thing there where he said, we've got to get some character. Look down that 1-11. Who's the characters in there? Who's the guy who's at half-time? Who's the guy on the pitch? Who's the guy around the dressing room? There's Thiago, probably because of his experience he's had. That's your lot.
Unless, by the way, which is, I'm just trying to make a devil's advocate argument here. These players aren't that great.
But I'm saying, if you give Brendan Rodgers that group, Rob, you get better than that.
Yeah, this team has spent with his
$300 million has been spent on this team, and they're probably worse than they were last season.
Are these players as good as what we expect them at this level, at this club? As Kai Havertz, I mean,
we haven't seen it yet, but everything you've seen about him, Rob, tells you he has. We were saying this guy is going to be a powerhouse. We saw Timo Werner.
We don't know how he's going to react to the Premier League. So far, nothing. Timo Werner looks $1 million, score goals for the national team, good rate, and yet he's struggling. So you always have to consider that. Is it all about Frank Lampard? Are some of these players just not as good as
Some of these players who were at Leicester City were under Claude Puel. Looked terrible. Like you put Brendan Rodgers in charge, you get a system of play, you bring confidence. Listen to James Maddison talk about his manager in the football club in the dressing
room. I would say that the Frank Lampard demeanour and the miserableness that it kind of translates into his team. Brendan Rodgers is always excited, always happy.
Yeah, listen, Maddison.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He was like...
inspired, yeah.
I asked you the question before we heard from James Maddison if you thought he would be fired. You both felt that he would be fired. Is that, though, in your opinion, the answer?
Not for me.
No.
Right.
No.
Based on the report, Rebecca, that's why I said yes, because if that report's accurate and there's no reason why, then looking at that performance...
A reminder of that report, The Athletic's Chelsea reporter Simon Johnson saying last night on British radio that it's a matter of when, not if, Lampard gets fired and that if he was to lose this game he's gone.
Which is the difficult thing to say anything, but yes, you think he'll go. Mm. But it'd be great to see him being given this season, Rebecca, and see if he can coach his way out of it. That's when we'll find out about Frank Lampard, the manager.
Arguably, this is kind of his first season as a Premier League manager, because last season it was so strange with the no transfers.
And he's had a dip. Can he come out of the dip again?
Brendan, congratulations. Thank you. Pleasing was that for you tonight?
Yeah, very. It was, we're playing against a Chelsea team that's very talented and have got a lot of outstanding individual players, but I thought collectively we were very good. You know, a real threat going forward, and we ran our socks off when we haven't got the ball because, like I said, you have to in these games.
What was the most impressive aspect for you?
Well, I think in terms of the first half, our pressing was good, and then when we got the ball, we looked a real threat. You know, getting runners in behind. I thought Harvey Barnes was sensational in that opening period of the game and taking us up the pitch, so he was a real threat. And then second half, I was really pleased with how we could close the game. We had a few problems last 15 minutes of the first half in terms of they were just playing in between our lines, but we adjusted that at half-time. And then I thought second half, our defensive block was much better whilst we still carried a real good threat going forward. So very professional, clean sheet against a really talented team like Chelsea. I'm really impressed by the players.
But you always looked in control, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think that's the maturity in the team. You know, I said that this is a team that just needs patience and needs learning. And like I said, they're happy that they won, but they're not jumping all over the place. You know, it was a really good professional performance, exciting at times and really defensively concentrated.
And top of the table, albeit it might only be for 24 hours, but it sends a message out there, doesn't it, in the title race?
Yeah. I think, it's still so early on, and obviously, as I said, no one's jumping through hoops. But it shows that in the first part of the season, consistency has been very good, performance level has been high, and like I say, if we can keep the players, fit and available, then we hope to go on and keep this consistency in the second part of the season.
You mentioned him earlier, Robbie, Wesley Fofana.
An absolute star in the making, Rebecca. At 20 years of age, $38 million from St Etienne. He is an absolute beast at the back there. Reads danger, smells danger, can get on the ball, can pass it. Looks like he's got good attitude, Rob. Brings a bit of personality to the back line.
You know, we could have pulled out many players, Rebecca, but this guy, he keeps jumping out from the screens here at how classy he is, how energetic he is, and how brave he is, and how excited he is, and how much he enjoys defending. He reads it very well, and, you know, he can run, he can do so many things. A 20-year-old young pickup, I mean, that's brilliant recruitment.
And I think that's the point, isn't it, that Leicester City, on average, sell their best player every year, but the key is they replace them with arguably even better.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I think now, you know, it's so good to hear Brendan Rodgers there and some of the fundamentals that he's going over there. What he's pleased with is the work ethic and the togetherness of the team and the maturity. Mm. And, you know, quickly back to Frank's team, it's not mature, but that's what maturing young team. They've won 12 out of 19 Premier League games and they're getting everybody back. You know, I think Ricardo Pereira came on.
Yeah.
That's the last player, really. Choyunchu's available. Yeah. They're fit and healthy. Mm. It's different to last year where they dropped away. They can get better.
I think you have to go back to last year as well, Rebecca, because they were top four for most of the season, dropped out on the last day to Manchester United, finished fifth. No Champions League football. There were a lot of people who were saying, what about Leicester this year? Will Brendan be able to do it again? He's lifted them, top of the table after 18 games, even if it's for 24 hours. And the bit from James Maddison where he said, I sat with the manager and I sat with the stat guy and I'm improving, tells you it's a great environment.
Can they win the league?
They can win it.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, but they can absolutely win it. You look through their team, there's good players everywhere. everywhere.
Part of the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and some people would say it would be an even bigger success than 2016 because the other big teams around them are much better, of course, than they were in 2016. It's going to be a fascinating title race.
With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dean, where shall we start with that? That was a heck of a game to watch. What was it like to be in your shoes?
I mean, in terms of the effort that the players gave me, heroic. I mean, after only three days training, you know, really, really proud of the energy they put in. You know, we're playing against a very, very good team who put us under a lot of pressure, and I didn't think we started the second half at all well for 15 minutes. And they've had lots of chances, but they missed them, not us. And, you know, I feel that they've been given 2 goals at the end there.
Yeah, let's start with the first all-important breakthrough goal. Rodri's clearly in an offside position coming back. The Premier League tell us once Tyrone touches the ball, the offside's over. Are you accepting that?
Not really, no. I mean, so are we going to just leave players behind the line all the time now? It's farcical. Let's be honest. He was 10 yards offside and he comes back in. So he's taking advantage of an offside position to tackle our player. And they go and score from that. It's a pathetic rule, pathetic law, pathetic decision in my view anyway.
Yeah, and I guess you made that plain to John Moss, which is how you end up...
No, I mean, I said to David Coote, have you got juggling balls for Christmas? And he came over and gave me a yellow card, and he said I was doing the laws of the game. And I said, well, maybe you should have done it earlier in the game. So you'll grade it for the red. For me, I think he's treating me different to other managers there. I don't think any other managers get sent off for that.
Right. And you also feel aggrieved about the late penalty that seals the game for them?
Well, I was upstairs and I saw it on the screen after. He's a yard away. And there's all this talk about, is his arms in an incorrect position or correct position? He can't jump with his arms at his side. He's a yard away from him. So the VAR doesn't even send him over to the screen, which, you know, flabbergasts me. But, I mean, John McGinn getting booked. If Douglas Luiz gets booked for the foul, not a problem. We're making 2 subs, so he's not delaying the restart. So, for me, it was just a poor performance from the officials today that have cost us. But Man City have had chances this, and I can't get away from that. Heroic in terms of the effort the lads put in. And we had chances at the end of it as well. We did have our chances as well. So, disappointed to go so long into the game and not get anything out of it.
Now, Aston Villa were very unhappy about the first and important goal. They feel that Rodri comes back from an offside position. Did you have a view?
I didn't see the action, sorry. So I know complaining, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah. If your player was coming back from an offside position, would you be, if it was the other end of the pitch, would you be unhappy with that situation?
Yeah.
Which, yeah. You get some, and you get some against you, I guess.
There's VAR here, no?
Yes.
So, before we can do it. So if no reviews, maybe it's not offside. I don't know the rule, I know the situation. But if you analyze one action, we can talk one action. One more question, I'm going to answer the question. Or if you want to ask or talk about how was the game in 94 minutes, we can talk about the game in general too.
And the game in general, of course, Manchester City had so many chances.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brilliant, honestly, to be not sure he didn't see his own goal. But anyway, where do you stand on that situation? He has every right, Dean Smith, doesn't he, to be angry?
Yes, Rebecca, because if a player's running from an offside position and almost tackles a defender and you get the breakaway and score, that doesn't feel right. And I know the law says it's a new phase of play, but I don't get it. I don't like it. And if that's the case, if I'm a coach, I'm starting to tell somebody, stand the other side of defenders, and as soon as it comes, slide tackle, win it, and we'll start a counter-attack.
What about the handball? You're not having it?
It's another one of those situations, similar to the offside, where the law will say it's a handball because of where his hand is
unexpected
placed.
Unexpected position.
Yeah, an unexpected position. And it's a tough one, but once again, by the letter of the law, it is a penalty, but...
What do you think of the law? I mean, he has to jump and you have to have your arms up. Should they change this law again?
Yeah, common sense has to come in. Because otherwise, you're just going to have players stood with their arms by the side and
can't
jumping
play
up.
Like
and
that.
Nobody. The one of the things that really frustrates me when we're seeing penalty incidents is that when I was playing, and I'm sure when Robbie was playing, you look at a situation where you're defending. And if a winger's running at you, you're like, right, OK, where am I sending him? Am I sending him left or am I sending him right? When a cross is coming in, how can I block the cross? First thing on the defender's mind now isn't how am I going to stop the winger. It's, well, I've got to put my arms behind my back. Mm. Surely that's not the right thing to have to do. Common sense has to be brought into it. And that's one of the biggest problems in the laws at the moment.
But the best team won?
Yeah, that said, 28 shots, more possession. Ominously, 6 straight wins in the Premier League. I think they're the first team to do that in an inconsistent season. There's a big, dark, ominous blue shadow over the rest of the league. Manchester City are just starting to click into gear.
And they haven't even got a striker that scores goals yet.
Exactly. So if they get a striker, if Aguero comes back, if Jesus hits a bit of form, then we're in trouble.
Beware the rest of the Premier League. But we have plenty to get through because, Robbie Earle, Manchester United are 2 points clear at the top of the table. Yeah. How big a win was that?
That was huge. I think yesterday when we were talking about the game, we said in the past, Manchester United would go to Fulham and you know what the result was going to be. Today we didn't and Fulham played well and then we contested and even late on it could have gone different. But this, what I hope this result has done is got Manchester United starting to believe, you know what? We can go to places and win. And for a long time, people have been saying, well, Paul Pogba, is he really worth it? Should we move on without him? Over the last couple of weeks, and certainly today, Rebecca, we've seen why he could be the difference maker. He could be the difference between Manchester United winning a title or not. If he stays fit, if he stays focused and keeps contributing in the way he does, and Bruno, we know, will still be Bruno, that's star quality in the middle of the field.
We'll talk Pogba in just a second. Mm-hmm. You were saying there, it's the Sir Alex Ferguson feeling around a Manchester United team going to Fulham that you always just knew that they would win. Mm-hmm. It was just never a question. When they went one down, there was still a feeling of, they're probably going to win this. And that, for a Manchester United fan, is absolutely where they want this team to be.
Yeah, it's huge. It's not ideal. I don't think Solskjaer would want to be conceding the first goal in so many away games. But they has, as you've just said, they've come back every time they've conceded first and away from home. They've gone on to win the game. So there's a real mentality strength there. But what I like about this United team is there's more than one match winner. And I think for so long it was, well, if one player didn't do it or another player didn't do it, then they're not going to win the game. But there's numerous amounts of players now that can come up with the goods, and which was shown today.
And the talent of Pogba when he's on a day like that is exceptional.
He's incredible. And I think the frustration from United supporters over the years is that they know how good he is, but he's not had the consistency. But what we're starting to see now is consistency from him, which does make him one of the best midfielders in the world.
And I wonder, Bex, if that's because he's starting to feel something. He's been good round winning teams, Juventus, the French national team. Is he starting to feel that this team is going in that direction?
Well, let's find out how he is feeling. Let's hear from Paul Pogba.
Well done, Paul. Well done tonight. A great result. Does that feel like a big win to you?
Yeah, it's a big win because it was a hard game. It was very difficult. We knew it would be difficult here against this team, that they don't give up the press and they stay compact behind. And we conceded a goal first half, and after we knew it would be hard now, and we had to come back. Obviously, we needed this win, and we got it in the hard way.
It was a world-class strike. Do you know it was flying in from the moment you hit it?
I hit it well. Didn't expect this left foot would be like this, but you know we try, and if you don't shoot, you don't know what's going to happen. So I'm really glad that the ball went in. It was a beautiful goal and a beautiful victory. That's the most important.
Was it better than the goal at Burnley?
I would say yes, because it's the left foot. So it's not my favourite one, but a goal is a goal.
And you went round the dressing room after the Liverpool game and apologised to your teammates for missing the goal against Liverpool. You made up for it tonight, didn't you?
It's not like I apologised, but I was really mad. I was really mad that I was really close to the goal, and I should have done better. And today went in, so I'm really happy for that. And the most important is just that we had the win today, a hard one, a very mature one, because we had to defend. We knew it would be like this. We knew it, and we done it the hard way and the beautiful way. You know, it's beautiful to win like that.
Did you feel you had to respond because Manchester City won just before the game? Did you know the Manchester City result before you kicked off?
No, didn't know. But Man City, you just know that we have to get our result. We knew that we have to win today, and that's it.
You look like you're loving your football, enjoying yourself out there.
Like I said before, I love winning. It's all about winning. I will always be happy when I win. And I will always be happy when I'm on the pitch. And today we won, so I'm happy. The day we lose, I will be angry again. So this is me.
And it's going to be a tight title race. Does it look like it's going to be a gaggle of clubs at the top and United in there?
Yeah. It's Premier League. We know it's always hard. It will never be easy, and we know it. These big teams as well. Very close point, so you have to do us. That's it.
What up, Paul? Thank you.
Thanks.
Still waiting for that question of whether or not he still wants to stay at Manchester United. I think that question is going to be asked anytime soon. Really interesting. He says, I'm happy when I'm winning and I'm happy when I'm on the pitch. That's what he just said there. That's the reason why he is now putting in the performances we've seen, because he is playing and United are winning.
I think it's a little bit different than that, my honest opinion. You look at his time at Juventus. He played with Vidal, he played with Marquezio, played with Khedira, played with Pirlo. Didn't have to be the main man. He signed for Manchester United, and don't get me wrong, it's a huge transfer record. The spotlight is automatically on him. He's got to do the defending, he's got to do the attacking. He's now part of a team where, you know what, he can play his role. He can do what he has to do. He's not being the nearly man, nearly getting to a cross, nearly getting a cross in, nearly stopping something. He's the deep-lying playmaker now. You've got Fernandes ahead of him that's doing his role. You've got Rashford. You've got Martial at times. You've got Cavani now coming into the team. All of a sudden, Paul Pogba can do Paul Pogba's role. And I think that is massively important for a player like Paul Pogba and for a team like Manchester United to have the best players but allow them to go and express themselves without having to do too much.
Can I just add a name to Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes? Fred. Now, everybody's favourite.
Yeah.
God, he'd enough get through some work today, by the way. Getting across the pitch, putting his foot in. He gets the block that makes the second goal. And for your Pogbas and your Bruno Fernandes and your Rashfords and all those, you need a Fred. You need somebody who's selfless in there. And he's, at times I've looked at him and thought, is he really a Manchester United quality player? But he didn't half play well today, Rebecca. Away from home, when it was tough and they were 1-0 down, he was the one putting his foot in and winning the ball back.
Do you think, from what you've seen of Paul Pogba the last couple of weeks, that he is now fully invested, long-term, back again at United?
I think he is, from a selfish perspective, because he looks and thinks, I can win things at this club now. I don't think he truly believed that he could previously.
He might just want to remind his agent where he's thinking, because the agent keeps saying he wants to leave, which is not good for him.
Congratulations, Ollie. A couple of scares at the end, but a very important 3 points there.
Yeah. I think we started slow, and after their goal, I thought we played well. That was what we needed. We needed to wake up. I think we hadn't shook off the game on Sunday. But after that, we played really well. After we scored, poor again, trying to be too direct and to go in behind and the Hollywood passes, and then fantastic goal by Paul, and we have some other chances as well second half to finish the game. But then of course, when it's only one goal with the players they put on, it's always going to be heart in your mouth.
He punched the air when that Paul Pogba goal went in. He's in tremendous form right now, scoring goals, causing a bit of problems for everybody. Tremendous form.
Yeah, no, he's really come on. He's fit. He can play in midfield. He can play wide. He can play... That's the key with Paul, getting him match fit and really running fit. And he is at the moment. And an early yellow card, he still defended really well, stood his ground, and there was one tackle in the second half that I was worried about. Could have got the lad, but no, he played very well.
In terms of the start of the match today, you started slow, defensive line got caught out, a goal down very early on.
Yeah, we don't do offsides really. We should follow the run, and that's when they run from deep, we knew they were going to do that. So we hadn't woken up, and good reaction.
Yes, Bruno sparked it. Bruno Fernandes, he hit the post and they delivered the ball in for Cavani to mop up. I mean, he's going to gobble those up all day.
Yeah, he's such a clever, experienced striker. He makes so many good runs in there, and he should have been given the ball a few more times as well. And what a fantastic save by Areola for the Edinson headed as well, second half. And the Bruno shot, to be fair.
You've got six Premier League winners' medals in the cabinet, so you know what it's all about. Are you in for a long fight at the top there?
It's always going to be talk about that when we're halfway through and you're top of the league, but we're not really thinking about this. We've just got to go one game at a time and keep everyone healthy and fresh and then see where we are. It's such an unpredictable season anyway.
Well, if Bruno Fernandes remains healthy and fresh, they'll be in it for the long haul, Robbie.
Yeah, and I want to just... I took a look at Bruno today, Rebecca, and it's not the passing and the goals and the assists. It was his motivation. This is in the warm-up, him getting hold of his teammates. Now watch what happens as the game's playing. He's on to Wan-Bissaka about the runs that he's making forward. He's demanding of his teammates from the middle of the park. And he's kind of earned this position because of what he's done as a Manchester United player here. He's talking to Mason Greenwood on that left-hand side, making sure he's doing his job. Is he ready to close down? Encouraging, dictating the play, leadership qualities. And it's something I would say that Frank Lampard's Chelsea don't have in the team. Somebody who is driven and demands as much of himself and his teammates. You can see here again, he's talking to Cavani, making sure his team are on the ball. And successful teams now and then have to have somebody who's prepared to upset a teammate to get them to do the jobs. Bruno Fernandes, not just on the ball, but off the ball vocally, has become a really important part of this team.
United need more of them. Since the second he put on that red shirt, you can have fantastic players playing for Manchester United, but you also got to have a certain mentality. I remember myself when I made my debut, I think I was 20 years of age, and there was a 50-50 with Emil Heskey, who was at Leicester at the time, and I've won the ball, I've got the ball, and I've just played it off, and I'm delighted. First touch, whatever. Roy Keane just looked at me, and I was like, I think he's going to give me a little bit of praise. Just looked at me and went, you won the ball, yeah, but you had the chance to let him know that you were there. It wasn't good enough. And that's what it's all about, playing for Manchester United. You had vocal people all over the pitch, and Fernandes has earned that right to be able to dictate, like what Robbie's saying there. He's earned that right because he leads by example and others have to follow.
This is all, we're not getting ahead of ourselves.
No.
Certainly not Manchester United fans, but it all has a feel of the old United. When I say the old United, I mean from 10 years ago.
Yes, but the old United could put a 38-game season together and finish top of the pile. With this group, we still don't know, Rebecca. Is there one of those patches where for 4 or 5 weeks it doesn't quite work and they fall off? It looks now everything's starting to fall in place, but they've still got to get the job done.
Well, Jurgen Klopp looked calmer at the full-time whistle, despite losing the game, than he did at half-time. I'm Rebecca Lowe, Robbie Earle, Danny Higginbotham watching that game with me. That is history. That is the champions beaten at home for the first time since April 2017. It was an emotional day.
Yep.
It was an emotional game. We're going to just bring you the story of Liverpool's emotions. And Robbie Earle, what is your instant reaction to that defeat and to the incredible victory from Burnley?
There were some pivotal days last season, Rebecca, when even when they were down in goals, this Liverpool team found a way to win games. It was pivotal in them winning the title. The 3 points lost, the loss of the home defensive record might just be pivotal in why Liverpool don't win the title this year around. It's that big today.
We're looking at pictures here of Mo Salah, who was left on the bench today. Roberto Firmino also left on the bench. And we talked, Danny Higginbotham, before the game. I said to you, what's your reaction to the team news? And you said it's either genius or insanity to drop those two players. What is it?
It's insanity. You know, it's... You looked at it. And you thought, I think, my own personal opinion, I think that Klopp underestimated this Burnley team, whichever way you want to look at it, because he talks about bringing players in that deserve to have, you know, credit on their side. You can see here, Klopp, you know, Klopp and Dyche at half time, you can see that Burnley had got under his skin. There's a real frustration. This isn't just through today's game. This is a group of players and a manager, I think, they're a little bit lost at the moment. Yes, they've lost Van Dijk, but other than that, not too much has changed, but the results are changing. And Burnley went to Anfield and did the same thing as West Brom did when they went to Anfield, sat deep, frustrated Liverpool, and made it a really difficult game for them. And Klopp, unfortunately, is letting his emotions show. And one thing we were always told, if the manager starts to show his emotion and loses, oh, he's losing a little bit of... not confidence, but losing a little bit
composure.
Of composure. It's going to rub off on the players. And it's exactly what's starting to happen.
Well, this was at half-time as he came back out to see what happened. Fabinho got a yellow card for that challenge. That's sort of like kick out to Ashley Barnes. And then followed a little melee, as you saw. And then Jurgen Klopp made his feelings quite clear to Sean Dyche. But at half-time, you were concerned, Robbie, about as you say, the composure of the Liverpool manager. And in the second half, did his team do anything to tell you that half-time team talk worked? No.
And I have to say, Rebecca, I mean, the story is about Liverpool. They're the reigning champions. They had the 68-game unbeaten run. But there was a spell in that team, in that game, when Burnley were having to defend. But do you know what? They weren't. It was manageable defending. It was enjoyable defending. It was the kind of defending that collectively, when you're in the space, you're in the right space. Liverpool didn't threaten them enough, get in behind enough, get enough good looks at it. And when they did, came at good defending or really good goalkeeper in form. And four straight games, no goals. One goal in five in the Premier League. Kind of tells its own story. And then it comes to this.
Yeah, I want to add on to that as well. Burnley, to a man, were absolutely magnificent. I know the headline is about Liverpool and everything, but Ashley Barnes and his teammates, they got the penalty. It was a definite penalty. It's a wonderful finish. But everybody will talk about Liverpool and how poor they were and their run that continues. I thought Burnley, to a man, were magnificent, and Sean Dyche would be one of the proudest men of his team because they mirrored him. And on the pitch, everybody was organised. And the reason Liverpool were so poor, OK, they were poor, Burnley made them poor. Burnley did exactly what they wanted to do, directed Liverpool where they wanted Liverpool to go, and the end result was that Burnley got a great result.
Well, arguably, Burnley do exactly what we thought they would do, so we'll talk more about that to come. The Mercedes-Benz full match stats clarification. I'm afraid, Liverpool fans, that run is over. No chance of catching Chelsea now. It stands and it stays at 68, home Premier League unbeaten streak. Let's hear now from the match winner. He doesn't have too many moments in the spotlight, does he? Here's Ashley Barnes.
Well, Ashley, does it feel like you've just done something monumental?
Definitely. What a shift from the lads. Great team performance, and lucky enough we've come away with 3 points.
Real belief coming here?
Definitely. You know, we believe in every game, and there was no different today. We knew it was going to be tough, but we were resilient and we stayed to our shape, and it paid off.
And did that grow, that belief, as the game went on? You look at that first half, one big chance they had, but nothing else really created.
Yeah, no, we knew if we keep believing, we will get something. You know, Yoey was unlucky there. And we knew we were growing into the game. Even in the second half when we come out, we knew they were going to come out of some momentum and try and play fast and that, but we managed to stick to our jobs today, slow everything down, and it worked.
And before we move on to the second half, do you want to just tell us your view of what happened right on the stroke of half-time there, yourself and Fabinho?
It's a bit of handbags. It's one of them. It's football. It's just give us a little kick after, but it's one of them. You just get on with it.
Yeah, OK. So, stood over that penalty. How are you feeling?
I knew there was only one thing to hit the back of the net, and lucky enough I've done that.
You make it sound all very simple, Ashley. Are you aware that you're the first team to come here and win in the Premier League in nearly 4 years?
It's a great achievement, you know, from the team that we're out there today. The hard work, as you could see, everyone put in, and it worked.
Yeah, and it's a big goal for you as well. Do you know that? 100 career goals.
Yeah, it's massive. You know, every goal is massive, but it's the next one now that is more important.
It's a brilliant day all round for Ashley Barnes of a Burnley, and also for their position in the table, up to 16th. They're now 7 points clear of that bottom three. Robbie, I want to just take it back to the lineup. We talked about it pre-game, the dropping of Firmino and Salah. They both came on in the second half. Always with hindsight, of course. Correct. It's easier to say, but should they have started? Would it have been different? Or do you think the malaise in Liverpool is the malaise in Liverpool, no matter who's playing right now?
I kind of think so, Rebecca. And listen, it is in hindsight. I said at the time I would play them. Play them through them problems. Give them the chance. Now, it's shown that they didn't score again. The game on for 30 minutes. That didn't happen. But one of the challenges of the Premier League title is once you've won it and people are pleased and delighted, the first time in 30 years, all the ground swells with you. The moment you've won it, the following season, you're a target for everybody. People like us are going to compare you to last season. So 19 games last season, 55 points. 19 games this season, 34 points. Top of the table by 13 points last year, 6 points behind this year. Guess what? People like us are going to say they're not as good as they were. The goals aren't coming. And so I looked at the team today, Rebecca, and there was something that slightly worried me, because one player was passing to another player as if he'll make it happen. And you were passing to Danny like he'll make it happen. Everybody's waiting for somebody to spark. and nobody's sparking. The team aren't sparking. And that's a little bit of a worry for this Liverpool team, whether it's Salah playing or Divock Origi playing. No one's really sparking, certainly in that top end of the pitch.
I think the problem that you've got is that Klopp's decided he wanted to make changes, and that's fair enough. You know, he's the manager and he's had great success at Liverpool, but we know the way that Liverpool play. We know that Firmino plays as that false number nine. We know the two wide plays then come more central to create space for the two fullbacks to get forward. The problem is, that's the way they wanted to play today. Origi's not a false nine. Oxlade-Chamberlain will keep the width more than Salah will. So straight away, you're trying to play the same way but with different players. And in the first half, there was times where you could have thrown a blanket over Origi, over Mane, and over Oxlade-Chamberlain. And that was perfect for Burnley, because Burnley just completely dominated the middle of the park in terms of saying, we're going to have so many players here, we'll give you the width. And then balls were put into the box, they dealt with. And that's why I just think from Liverpool's perspective, we talk about the lineup. When that lineup came out, Burnley would have had a boost. No question about it. And that's not being disrespectful to the players that have come in for Liverpool. It's the players that have gone out of that Liverpool team. Burnley would have looked on that and gone, either they're undermining us, they're disrespecting us, we don't care because it's a weaker team than what we were thought we were going to be playing against.
Well, the captain today, his contract is running out. Jorginho Wijnaldum has just spoken. Here he is.
Jorginho, I should imagine a seriously tough one to take. What happened tonight?
Yeah, a really tough one. Before the game, we had good intentions to play against Burnley. We wanted to play good position play, wanted to counter press, create chances. I think we create enough chances to score a goal, and unfortunately we didn't score. And there was one moment we were not sharp enough, not concentrated enough, and they get a penalty and they score a goal.
You said you created enough to score, but did you create as much as maybe you normally would? Was that old fluency lacking tonight, do you think?
Well, not really, but still I think we had 100% chances. And now in the situation we're in, we don't score goals, and then it's difficult to win a game.
How do you explain that situation you have suddenly found yourselves in? You're still the top scorers in the Premier League, but obviously that run without a goal is going on and on.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain. I think people from outside will say that we don't have confidence, that we lose the confidence. But
is that not right?
Well, you should ask as the players. I still think that the players have confidence, but on this moment it's just you shoot the ball in or you shoot against the keeper, and now a lot of chances that we get, we are not we're not like 100% like greedy like to score a goal. That's how it looks. And what I just say, sometimes or before when we had the chances, we shoot them in, and now we shoot a lot against the goalkeeper in the middle. So it's difficult to explain where the fault is. But what we have to do is just to keep on going and trying to create more chances to score a goal.
Senior players like yourself, captain tonight, what can you do about it? What can you say in the dressing room to try and put this right? Is there anything?
Well, you're just trying to do the things you normally do. I think a bend around your arm don't change a lot. Not for me. I just talk and then trying to do the things I do normally. Well, I think you have to do it together, you know. And of course, people will look at the captain, but I think in our team, even before this game, we have a lot of players who already spoke. So I just did what I did before, trying to help the team out, and that's what I did today.
Do you think this is now a decisive moment in your season? You can't let this run go on any further, and you have some really tricky matches ahead.
Well, we have to see. You know, what we have to do is just not think about a tricky moment in the season. We just have to perform. Look at the next game now, that's Manchester, and trying to win the game.
Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
Well, Jürgen, a long time since you had this feeling at Anfield in the Premier League. In your view, what happened tonight?
Oh, we lost the game, which I think is pretty... It's actually impossible to lose, but we did it. And that's my fault. So, because my job is to make sure that the boys feel the right have the right feelings, like the right amount of confidence. They make the right decisions, all these kind of things. And that opposite didn't work out for tonight because we had the ball a lot. We created some situations. That's all okay. But in the final moment, obviously, our decision-making is not right in the moment. That's the problem. So you have the ball in the right place, then you don't shoot, then you pass. I'm pretty sure I said the same thing last week. And the problem is something doesn't work. You have to try harder, longer, more often, and so again and again, and make better decisions. So, but it's... It obviously didn't work out tonight, and that's what we have to admit. Nothing to say about, and that's why we lost the game.
I know the buck always stops with the manager, but why do you feel particularly tonight it's your fault?
It's always my fault. The things that don't work are my fault. The things that work are the players. It's credit to the players because that's what they make of it. It's if we have a situation, so that's how we work that long together now. If I make clear which movements make absolutely sense, because it will hurt the opponent, and we don't do them, then I have to make it clearer. That's how it is. That's how it is. How you come in behind the last line and all these kind of things, that's the job we have to do. It's not only me. It's all for all managers the same, but that's the reason.
So the players not doing those movements, not carrying out those instructions, is that belief, do you think?
No. It's not that they don't want. It's really, again, it's really difficult to play against this kind of low block, but we did it already. For playing against a low block, it makes... helps a lot if you score one goal, and we could have scored it in the first half, we could have scored it in the second half, we could have scored it in plenty moments, and we didn't. So, and that changed then for the opponent everything, because Burnley didn't come here to lose 1-0, it then maybe they open up a little bit more, stuff like this, and that changed games. But for this, you have to score. It's not about you cannot make sure before the game and score four or five times. You have to score the first one, and we obviously don't score the first one, and that makes then the things difficult, because after scoring not that much for a long time, it's not that everybody feels like incredibly confident in these moments, and that's something we have to work on.
It's one goal in nearly 90 shots, or almost 90 shots now since Palace. Is that, like, for you, even knowing the players as well as you do, like, almost an inexplicable stat for teams usually so free scoring?
I never thought about us like a free-scoring side or unit. I always knew we have to work really hard for it. We have to do a lot of things right to become in these positions. Yes, and then you have moments when a player takes one touch and the next one is in a far ankle or whatever, a far corner, and that, these kind of things. But that doesn't work. That doesn't happen in the moment. It's not the first time that it happened in football. It will not be the last time. The good thing is we can change it. We just have to work on it. And for tonight, we cannot work anymore. We just can use it for the next one.
Is it also true that you're not creating the quality of chances at the moment that you would normally?
But that's not... That's all true. That's all true. But it's not that we don't create the chances because the players have not the ability to do so. It's because our decision-making is the problem. But that's always the problem. The decision-making... A good footballer, the difference between very good footballer and a good footballer is decision making. Making the right stuff in the right moment. So that's it. It's not rocket science. It's not that that there are eight players in front of the box, one around the six, and one stays up front. That's how it is. We know that before the game. So now it's not so difficult to come in behind that line. But when you take then the crosses too early and hope that somebody will hit ahead in the box, that doesn't make sense. Second half, we had a lot of good moments with Trent, especially where he was in the right place, tried to pass the ball inside, and then we are not in the right moment. And that's a feeling for the boys. They just wait for the cross, and then realize when the ball is on its way, oh, it's for me. And then make that move. And it's not about how incredible high your skill set is or big your skill set. It's only about making this decision in that moment. And we had tonight, I think the two biggest were, everybody saw. If we scored in that moment, that would have changed a lot. But we didn't. And so we left the game open and lost the game, which I have to say, I can't believe that we lost it. But it's the truth, and we have to accept that.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about. What happened in the tunnel between you and Sean Dyche? Because you looked very animated, judging on body language.
Yeah, but that's if he's not talking about it, I will not talk about it. So it's easy as that. I didn't start it, but it's not nothing. All good.
Okay. Thank you.
That's made us want to know even more. He didn't start it. OK. We want to hear from Sean Dyche, and we'll bring that to you when we can. So many interesting things have come out of that interview. Yeah. It was my fault. He, first of all, absolutely came out and took full blame. He was almost laughing how he felt they're impossible that they lost, but they did. Yeah. Decision-making is what they're lacking. Hates playing against a low block, as we know. Yeah. They got the FA Cup to come at the weekend, then they go to Tottenham. Decision-making.
Yeah.
OK. So they're not making the right decision. Yeah. So how do you go about improving decision-making in a player?
Well, it's interesting, Becca. Let me tell you what, and this is to do with confidence. I was trying to think in my head how I could best explain it. Loss of confidence gives you loss of clarity in your head. So when you're on top of your game, as the ball comes in, there's probably one or two options, and I just pick it. I don't even think about it. When the confidence starts to go, I see three or four options. And I think, is it A, B, C, or D? Let me take a touch and wait. And everything's slow, and it's not natural. And that comes when you're not on top of your game. Now, there's a couple of things you do as a manager. You say, I'm going to play you through this spell, and you're going to get your confidence back. I say, you've got one more game today, and then I'm going to... Or I say, I'm going to rest you. And he decided with Mo Salah and Bobby Firmino, it was time to rest them, because their clarity was not there. There's some indecision. And... did it work? Did it not? They came on second half, not scored. So the overview is it didn't work. And the problem he has now is where does he go from here with that front three?
Well, that's my question. Where does he go? How does he get them back scoring, get making the right decisions?
I think it'll go back to that front three. One of the things that stands out for me is if I look at Liverpool last season in the early stages of this season, how many goals they scored from outside the box. The likes of Mane tucking inside, Salah coming inside with the ball. That's confidence. What we've seen in recent games is players getting to the edge of the box and being short of confidence, going, I don't want to take this shot. I'm going to pass it to somebody else, who then in turn passes it to somebody else. But by the time you make that third pass, teams are back in and they're back into shape. And what we've seen in recent games has just been one pass too many when we know the shot was on. We've seen instances for Firmino, for Salah, for Mane, for other players in the team where this time last year, their own teammates are walking back towards the halfway line because they know the ball's in the back of the net. As in terms of working on confidence, that's the individual players, and that's only going to get better with performances getting better as well. And that's why I look back to Salah and Firmino coming out of the team today. That's why I looked at it and thought, majority of managers that I've worked with, and don't get me wrong, not in the standard of Klopp, but even when I was a young player at Manchester United, Sir Alex Ferguson would allow players to play through that bad spell because he trusted them and he knew they were going to come through the other end. Klopp's looked at it the other way.
There's also a point as well, Becca, and it has to be made, and it was talked about last season, but the front three scored their way out of trouble and got that early goal that opened teams up. If you take the front three out of it, there ain't many goals anywhere else. Man City have a Gundogan and a De Bruyne, and Leicester have a Madison and a Barnes, and somebody else who can just come and give you that hope of goals. Oxlade-Chamberlain, disappointing, Rebecca. Again, another opportunity where you just might need a goal from midfield. When the front three aren't going well, one of those gives you a 1-0 and all of a sudden Burnley have to be different. That's not in this Liverpool team.
I think the key thing is as well, when you look at the champions over the years that have then gone and won it again, so your Manchester Cities, your Manchester United, your Chelsea's, Klopp has, I'm not saying he's done the easy part by winning the Premier League, but what he's done brick by brick, he's built a team that is arguably one of the best teams in Europe. So when you get to the summer after you've won the Premier League, how do you make that team better? It's very, very difficult. I think what Robbie's saying is true. I think it's a goal-scoring midfielder. But that's the key. What the top managers do, you Sir Alex Ferguson,
and they didn't
Mourinho's,
do it, did they?
They've not been able to because it's a very difficult market. Because to make a team that's already here, you're looking in a very small market. That's what the likes of Sir Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger did, Mourinho and managers
Jota's
like
a
that.
Miss, hasn't he?
Yeah,
Jota as well came in and just gave him something true. Different. And then they've missed that now when they could have really called on him.
That does it for this edition of the Premier League on NBC podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes where you'll get a collection of our most spirited in-studio debates, as well as exclusive on-site access. Plus, don't miss out on Premier League mornings, weekends at 7 a.m. Eastern on NBCSN and Peacock Premium. Bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.